Support for On Point and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interests in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Denmark is one of the happiest countries in the world, topping international surveys year after year. Hygge, we're told, is at the center of Danish happiness. What is hygge? It's about coziness, being around loved ones, being present and together. We'll talk with leading happiness expert and Dane, Mike Viking, about hygge and happiness even in the darkest days. This hour On Point from Denmark, happiness and you. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. What do you think? Where do you find happiness when the days are dark and cold? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me first today from New York is Penelope Green, style reporter for the New York Times. She's been writing about Danes and hygge. Penelope Green, welcome to On Point.
How are you?
I'm okay. I never thought of you saying hygge.
It's hard to say.
It's all right, I guess. But look, coziness, I mean, you work with a bunch of hard-bitten New Yorkers. Does this sound like a bunch of sentimental, scando, I don't know what, or for real?
Well, it's wildly popular in the UK, and it's kind of making its way stateside. I don't know if it's hit kind of the mass American vernacular yet, but it's many think it's a reaction to uncertain times. It is a little bit hard to define because it's a state of mind. It's a collection of things and attributes and who knows what else to take you to a state of mind. So it's a bit amorphous right now.
Describe the state of mind or what it hygge is. I mean, coziness is the first word that pops up, but it seems to be that and more. How did you come to understand it?
Well, insofar as I'm able to understand it, from the many, many books that have been published on the topic, it involves the following. It involves candlelight, fires, knitted socks, porridge, coffee, cake, and other people, but no strangers, because the Danes are very shy.
Okay. Candlelight, knitted socks? I got to get this list now. Candlelight, knitted socks, porridge, other people, friends, I guess.
Friends, no strangers.
No strangers. And did you say... Is that it? I put those together and I'm
delirious?
Well,
you know, each book has a rather exhaustive list. My favorite book on the topic is by Mike Viking, who is the founder and chief executive of the Happiness Institute.
He'll join us in a couple minutes here. Yeah,
exactly. And he has an exhaustive list of things that come together to produce this state. And he would also include board games, things made of wood. I'll let him.
Okay,
We'll talk to him later.
We'll go there. You went out and talked with a lot of people who were fans of hygge, candlelight, and all the rest. Were you persuaded? Did they come across as serene?
Well, Mike, as you'll discover, it sounds like a really happy guy, he and his countryman Klaus Meyer are really the only two Danes that I was able to have any interaction with. Mm-hmm. And Klaus Meyer is the founder of Noma, the restaurant in Copenhagen, and he has a lot of projects here in Manhattan, mm-hmm. including a restaurant called the Great Northern Food Hall in our Grand Central Station. And he invited me to have a hygge afternoon with his family in his Chelsea townhouse.
Okay.
And I can say that, in fact, he seemed like a pretty mellow guy, and he had, happy children. And
great restaurant.
His wife, great restaurant. And, again, the components of that hygge afternoon were a bit amorphous, but some were concrete. We ate porridge. That was delicious. They didn't have a fireplace, but they were able to play a YouTube video of a crackling log,
okay.
Which sort of you know, worked for the atmosphere, and everybody seemed quite happy and serene, in fact.
Everybody's interested in hygge these days. German television went to Denmark, and they asked Danes on the streets of Copenhagen about what hygge means to them. Here's one answer.
It's having a cup of warm chocolate or warm tea and some biscuits and a talk who go a little bit deeper than normal.
Warm chocolate, warm tea, biscuits, and talk that goes a little bit deeper than normal. And here's more.
Hygge is also maybe watching a film or reading a book.
Okay, it sounds incredibly simple, but it's hard to argue with the surveys. Danes are very happy. Penelope Green has been writing about hygge for the New York Times. We've got people calling in from around the country, Penelope. Charlie in Asheville, North Carolina. Charlie, thank you for calling. You're on the air. What do you know?
Hi, Tom. Thank you. I used to live in Berea, Kentucky, where Berea College is, and I was invited to go and teach in Denmark. I taught in five different ungdomsskolen, and I want Berea has had a long relationship with Danish culture. Danes have been on staff at Berea College over the years.
So did you hear about hygge when you went to Denmark, Charlie?
Oh, I experienced it, and hygge is about togetherness. It's about hanging out around the dining table or at the couches and having candles and just being warm and open. And it's also about participation. It's things like rhythmic gymnastics. It's a cultural thing, and the Danes are wonderful at it. They're all in this together. We're all in this together, and that's the overwhelming sense.
Charlie, do we do it here? I mean, I love candles and friends and fires and, I don't know, knit socks are fine. Do Americans do it naturally or not?
We are fiercely independent as Americans, and Danes find us fascinating for that reason. It's not a cultural norm to draw attention to yourself in Denmark.
So does that mean hygge is out of bounds? It's beyond our reach, or
no? It's a lesson we need to learn. That we are all in this together. The Danes have created a society and a culture that is inclusive and participatory, and they benefit from it. Now there are some flies in the ointment. They have a few issues. They worry that people that emigrate to Denmark in the second generation, they want those people to be Danish and act and think in a Danish fashion. And when they don't, that's a little bit troubling. But I love Denmark. It's a wonderful place. I have friends there that I think very highly of. And I taught American folk dance and Shaker furniture building there. So I had a great time.
Sounds like that would fit right in. So big ups for hygge from Charlie, who spent his time in Denmark. And I appreciate your call, Charlie. Penelope Green with the New York Times. Let's get a Dane in here. Mike Viking is with us now. He is CEO of the Happiness Research Institute. He's author of the new book, The Little Book of Hygge, The Danish Way to Live Well. He's a research associate for Denmark at the World Database of Happiness, no less. He ought to know a lot about this. He joins us today, we note, not from dark and cold Denmark, but from Lisbon in Portugal. Mike Viking, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom.
Now, why aren't you home in dark and cold Denmark with a couple of candles and some hot chocolate? You're down in Lisbon in the sun.
It's because there is a global interest in hygge these days. It's really becoming a global phenomenon. The book I wrote is being translated into 25 languages, so I'm fortunate to tour to sunny Spain and Portugal these days to talk a little bit about
hygge. You
yes,
poor guy.
It's a tough job. Somebody has to do it.
Penelope has given us a pretty good whack at it. Let us hear it from you, Mike Viking. What a name. What is hygge?
No, I think Penelope and Charlie were very right. I mean, it is being consciously cozy. We also call it sort of the art of creating a nice atmosphere or the pursuit of everyday happiness. But perhaps it's best explained with a story where I experienced a hyggelig time. which was a few years ago in Sweden with a few friends of mine. And it was a December, so it was very dark, and we had been out hiking and came back into the cabin, and we got the fire going in the fireplace, and we had prepared a stew, which we put on the stove to boil, and we were just sitting back, relaxing. And we could hear the fire in the fireplace and the stew boiling, and we're just having a really good time. And then at one point, one of my friends said, "Could this be any more hyggelig?" And then one of the girls said, "Yes, if there was a storm outside." Because it is also this feeling about being sheltered from the outside.
I don't even know if we can say hyggelig on the air. It sounds it's fine. It sounds so simple. I mean, you're hanging out. You got a fire. You know, you're with friends. It sounds like almost ridiculously simple.
Well, it is simple, and I think, you know, what I also experience when I meet readers from around the world, that a lot of people feel they've been doing this all their life. Now, I think the difference is that Danes have a word that describe that situation or that emotion or that experience. And I think that's one of the major differences that we are consciously cozy, and we are talking about it so much that it almost seems like it's a form of Tourette's, because I will invite you over for dinner. I will invite you over for dinner, and then before the dinner during the week, we'll talk about how hyggelig, which is the accusative. It's not dirty, Tom. It's the accusative. There's a verb and there's the accusative.
Okay.
So we'll talk about how hyggelig Saturday is going to be, and then on Saturday we'll be very explicit about how the hyggelig this is, and then on Monday we'll remind each other of how hyggelig Saturday was.
Okay. We just can't get away from it. Mike Viking, his new book is The Little Book of Hygge. Penelope Green, we're going to come back and ask you why this is suddenly getting so much, I guess, global attention. Behind us right here, Benny Anderson's song, The Day of Cervante. It's about savoring the moment, enjoying simple pleasures, the epitome of hygge in Danish for you. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Nu kommer Nina ud, nøgen med fugtig hud. Kysser mig kærligt og går ind for at dreje sit hår. Livet er ikke det værste man har, og om lidt er kaffen klar.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about how to be happy in the dark and cold. The Danes are among the world's happiest people. They do it, we're told, with something called hygge. Mike Viking is my guest. He's author of the new book, The Little Book of Hygge, The Danish Way to Live Well. Joins us from Lisbon, Portugal, we know today. Penelope Green is with us, style reporter for The New York Times. She's written a lot about this. You can link to her piece at our website, On Point Radio. And you can join us today. How do you keep your spirits up when the days are dark and cold? How do you account for Denmark's happiness? Do you get this hygge thing, candles, companionship, ease, relaxation? Does that work anywhere? Does it? Would it work here? Penelope Green there in New York, I wanted to put it to you. Why you think there's so much interest in this, apparently well beyond Denmark at this moment?
Well, I'd like to point out that the Collins Dictionary in the UK proclaimed it one of the top 10 words of 2016, along with Brexit and Trumpism.
Okay.
And one might assume that the concept of hygge is kind of a reaction to both of those other things.
To disruption, you know, or unsettling change for some people, anyway.
Yes, I mean, if there's a practice that can, you know, going home and sort of hurling yourself on the couch and taking off your shoes and hiding under a blanket would seem to be, you know, one response to uncertain times. There are other reasons that it may or may not gain traction here. There are those who believe it's kind of a reaction to the elitist and the elitism sort of well-being movement that, you know, kind of prescribes, you know, $8 green juices and very expensive leggings. And it's a sort of asceticism that's out of reach of, you know, many people. And it's not just elitist because it's expensive. It's also kind of hard to achieve. And this is a much easier a much easier trend to follow. You know, it allows you to indulge. You know, it promotes the consumption of bacon and cake. And, you know, who doesn't want to eat cake and have some more bacon?
Now, it sounds like the very simplest things, and maybe not just Danish. My sainted Swedish mother, this seemed to be pretty much what she loved on a winter's afternoon. Mm. Amy in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Amy, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi. I just, you know, you had said earlier, you said, I wonder if, do Americans do it? Are Americans doing this? And I just wanted to say from cold, wintry Wisconsin that absolutely we are. My friends and I, we know about Hygge, although I didn't, honestly, I didn't know how to pronounce it before today.
Who does? Okay, so here we are. We're trying. Yeah.
We know about it. And I actually have a friend who grew up in Denmark who came to my house not that long ago, and he said, your house is the epitome of hygge. And my best friend, she does it with her children. She'll say on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon when it's too cold to be outside, she'll say, we're going to create hygge in our house today. And it's everything that you're talking about. Candles.
Well, put it in your words. What makes your house, I can't believe I'm asking this question, but what makes your house so hygge-ly?
Well, I have a lot of wood. I think my house is really cozy. I have a lot of wood. I have a lot of art. I have a lot of plants. I have a lot of candles. Yeah. I have a fireplace, and you know,
hygge central.
My little boy and I will sit and drink tea or hot chocolate or coffee. Maybe I'll have a glass of wine, and we will work on an art project, play a board game, have all the candles lit, maybe have some music softly playing in the middle of the day on a Saturday afternoon, and it just brightens everything up in the middle of what can get to be a very long and cold winter. In Wisconsin.
There's a full-on hygge report from Wisconsin. We'll take it, Amy. We'll take it, and I really appreciate it. I mean, Mike Viking, you're also there at the Happiness Research Institute. Is there evidence that this really leaves Danes happier?
Yes, but let me first appoint Amy as the official ambassador of hygge in the U.S. I think it was spot on.
Done.
But I mean, of course, why is Denmark doing well in the happiness rankings? I mean, that have been one of the core questions in my work at the Happiness Research Institute for the past years. And of course, we've been looking a lot at the Nordic welfare state model. You know, democratic socialism, everything that Bernie Sanders have been talking about in his campaign, to us, it's not progressive. It's just mainstream. It's just common sense. I mean, you know, I think, you know, Denmark is what the U.S. would be if Bernie Sanders had his way. So we've been looking at why does Denmark do well? Why do all the Nordic countries do well in the happiness rankings? Sweden, Finland, Norway, Iceland are always in the top 10. And that is the key explanation. Those countries, because of social security, universal healthcare, free university education, they are really good at providing quality of life for a large group of people. They are really good at reducing extreme unhappiness. And these rankings are based on averages. And if you focus on reducing extreme unhappiness, well, that brings up the average for everyone, and that's why those countries come out on top. Now, the only issue or the only slight problem we have with that explanation, I do believe it's true, but we couldn't use the political explanation to understand why Denmark does better than the other Nordic countries, because Sweden, Finland, Iceland, Norway also have those same high levels of welfare and social security and so on. Mm-hmm. So that's why we started to look at culture. And the difference here is the focus Danes have on hygge, the volume we talk about hygge, and the way we give it value. We see, I think, hygge the same way as you in America see freedom. You see freedom as something inherently American. We see hygge as something inherently Danish and something that is part of our cultural DNA. And because of that perspective, because of that focus on it, I think our language shapes our behavior and we become more inclined to plan and acknowledge and remember these positive experiences we have on a daily basis that consists of comfort, of relaxation, all those things that Amy talked about before.
Comfort, coziness, and all the rest. Michael in Baltimore, you're on with Mike Viking and Penelope Green.
Hello, Tom. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. What are you thinking, Mike?
I'm just calling. I was just listening in, and I couldn't help but agree with Mr. Viking. I mean, I've lived in Europe for a short period of time in Germany, and what I think it is, is a society level here in the United States that we don't have a social system, and that we have adopted our economic system as a social system. As my professor once said to me, you know, another way to call capitalism is the FU economy. And I think the whole experience of what the Danish is going through is a feeling of safety, of being safe, being separate from the elements, and just like he said, feeling cozy and warm and safe and nice. And I can't help but think it's a social system, you know, that that helps contribute that feeling.
And Mike Viking says exactly that. And there you point out some social differences and structural differences in the way our society is put together. Penelope, I know we've just got you for another minute here. How migratory do you think this is from Denmark to the USA? Or is our caller from Baltimore right that we're in a different matrix, a different social and economic matrix, and maybe less hospitable than the welfare state that Mike Viking writes about?
Well, as Mike points out in his book, it's, you know, these the boons of the welfare state are a big part of it, but another variable is the focus on the feeling and the focus, mm-hmm. the articulation of the feeling and making that a goal. So as your caller from, I think it was Minnesota said, mm-hmm. you can achieve it in your own home regardless of whatever's going on outside.
If you're lucky enough to have that level of comfort and some sense of security. Penelope Green, we're really grateful to you for joining us for a few minutes today, for writing it up, your piece in the Times. Listeners, you can link to it at our website. And Penelope, thank you so much. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Great to have you. Mike Viking, please stand by, author of The Little Book of Hygge, The Danish Way to Live Well. Deb is calling from Bradenton, Florida, long way from Denmark. Hi, Deb. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Well, what do you know, Deb?
Well, I know that when I was 10 years old, my parents decided to retire to Denmark from winter, and it was a very uncertain time as a 10-year-old. But the Danish family that befriended us made sure that they created the atmosphere of hygge for us to make us feel safe as children, to assimilate us into their culture. And it is something that when I think about it, it warms my heart because that's what Danish people do and that's how they raise their children.
Did you know the word? Did you hear about this as a 10-year-old in Denmark?
I never heard the word. No, I had not. But I have to say that I did have to learn Danish very quickly to survive in school. And one of the first words I do remember is the word hygge.
And do you think it's transferable to the USA, Deb?
I really hope so. I think a lot of families are starting to realize today how important it is for children to feel safe in their environment, especially their home environment. So people are creating that atmosphere and let's call it make dinner at home instead of go out to eat. A simple thing like that can certainly make that feeling transferable.
Comfort and coziness, and they're from Deb, who got moved to Denmark at age 10 and learned it right away. First word that she got taught, nearly hygge. Deb, thanks for calling. One more right here. Tom in Framingham, Massachusetts. Tom, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom. I'm a first-time, long-time. Thanks for having me on.
Great, sure. What do you see?
So I stumbled upon the program just a little while ago, and I just what you were asking, I instantly get the concept of hygge because I feel in my life, I can see that in American society, people are kind of just in their own little silos. And I guess, you know, I'm about 32 years old, so I'm kind of going through just breaking apart from all the friends and getting closer to family now. And I think everybody is kind of drawing on, you know, yoga and meditation and these things from other cultures now that they want to bring in because we are so isolated. You know, we're all looking for that enlightenment. And I think it really is the perfect thing because people need that cozy, safe feeling, something that they can actually bring awareness to that, like you said, it's such a simple concept that you're just talking to people and sitting down and having a chat and maybe going a little deeper than normal, but really you need to almost bring awareness to that in our society because we don't do it naturally.
Tom, I'm sure people could share that feeling here, though many may do it. They may find their own way to it, but whether the general culture promotes it, I appreciate your call. Mike Viking, what about it? In an American-style economy, and we've had Tom and the caller from Baltimore pointing out, it's a different kind of economy and social structure than Denmark's. Is it hospitable, the American political culture, economy, hospitable to what you're promoting here?
I think it is. And Tom, you know, the more I get into to happiness research and the more countries I visit, I see that, you know, we might be Americans and Danes and Germans and Portuguese, but we're first and foremost humans. And the same things that drive well-being in Copenhagen and Lisbon are the same things that drives happiness in Wisconsin and New York. But I also think that the broader context here and the background is that I think more and more people, including people in the US, are recognizing that the way we've been measuring progress is wrong. That we've been measuring progress in terms of GDP and in terms of wealth, and we should instead start to measure progress in terms of well-being, happiness, quality of life. We do see more and more governments, you know, not only measuring standard of living or GDP per capita, but also measuring happiness or quality of life. And I think, you know, looking ahead 10, 20 years, I think that will be even more and more mainstream. I think what Danes have a little bit a head start on is the acknowledgement of the gap or the decoupling there is between wealth and well-being. We're not saying that money doesn't matter for quality of life or happiness, but at a certain point in terms of income, additional $50, $100 per month is not going to matter in terms of what kind of emotions I experience on a daily basis. Then we need to focus on other things such as togetherness, such as purpose, such as comfort and relaxation. And I think that's what some of the Nordic countries have as a head start, that we are putting quality of life at the core of public policies and the way we are designing our societies and our lives. And I think that's a head start in these days.
Let me, you know, everything has its critics. And let me put to you some criticism of Hygge that I'm also reading here. I mean, it sounds great. On the other hand, I'm reading here in Slate, they're talking about it being a tool of xenophobic populism, that your far right party in Denmark, the Danish People's Party, makes a whole lot of Hygge, you know, the virtues of the lifestyle, everything cozy, that it's also, though, a kind of can be exclusionist. We heard from one of our callers that, you know, something along those same lines, that it's a kind of celebration of everything inward. Is it a tool of xenophobic populism, Mike Viking?
I don't think it is. And we do see Hygge throughout the political spectrum. In Denmark, Hygge is for everyone across the political aisle. And it's not a upper class or middle class thing. It's for everyone. It's also something that should be accessible. We also see it as something that should be inexpensive. In fact, if, you know, we feel that, you know, if you walk into a restaurant that is too expensive or too extravagant for your budget, you can look at your friends and say, shouldn't we find a place that's more hygge-ly? And your friends will go, yeah, let's do that. So I don't see it as being exclusive. But I mean, it has been called socializing for introverts. And this was actually an American student who pointed this out, who I taught in Copenhagen, and she had been very quiet during her class. And then when we were discussing hygge, she finally raised her hand and she said, you know, I'm an introvert. And to me, hygge is a fantastic thing because it is a way to be together with other people without it being socially draining for her. And I thought that was quite insightful.
Because
Because it is expanding your comfort zone to include other people. It is being with other people, but without it being sort of energy draining. So, and that's also why it happens in smaller circles, maybe 4, 6, 8, 10 people. So coming back to the criticism, whether it can be exclusive, it can to that extent that, you know, larger gatherings of 100 people would not be seen as hyggelig as a gathering of for example, 6 to 8.
Mm-hmm. Hyggelig. We're talking about comfort and togetherness and gratitude and pleasure and presence and candles and coziness to the American palate. I mean, it sounds really great. It can also sound cloying, but who's going to argue with the numbers? Danes are pretty happy. Of course, we've got a lot more going on. I guess Mike Viking says if Bernie Sanders ran America, we might have more hygge here too. Well, I'm Tom Ashbrook. Behind me right here, this is The Stable Song. South African singer-songwriter Gregory Allen Isakoff, artist Mike has been listening to when he hygges. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Ring like crazy.
turn his diamond straight back in the cold. Turn his diamond straight back in the cold.
Support for On Point and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interests in mind. Rocket Mortgage provides a transparent online process that helps you understand all the details of your home loan. You can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you get the right mortgage solution for you. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about how to be happy in the dark and cold. The Danes are among the world's happiest people. They do it with something, we're told, called hygge. Kind of coziness and comfort, togetherness and quiet, candles, all that. Mike Viking has written it up in his little book of Hygge, The Danish Way to Live Well. He joins us today. You can join us as well. How do you keep your spirits up when the days are dark and cold? How do you account for Denmark's happiness levels? How do you hang on to happiness in a dark time? Could the world, your world, use a little hygge right now? Lots of response online. We'll come to calls as well. We're going to head to Alaska in just a moment, too. But Mike, they're in Lisbon, Portugal today. Scott says, writes to us on Facebook, I guess, I'm sold on hygge. Okay. Michelle says, listening to a discussion about hygge on Point Radio, great topic. I decided to relax and eat a piece of chocolate. Wonderful. Pam says, you can't practice hygge without mindfulness. We will be mindful of that. And Holly, listening to you, Mike, says, free health care and good education, social security, strong social safety net make for feelings of we're all in this together. Maybe that's so. Borealis writes to us, having a hygge gathering on Inauguration Day, but on Saturday, the day after, we march. It's not all coziness, maybe. Not all. Rick in Omaha, Nebraska. Rick, thank you for calling. You're on with Mike Viking, author of The Little Book of Hygge.
Thank you for taking the call. Mike, isn't it true in Denmark that one must speak Danish in order to be a Dane? And wouldn't we call Denmark, as wonderful a country it is, as lovely as the people are, perhaps a small and tribal people compared to the United States? And I, like I said, I think I recall that Denmark did pass a law. In order to become a Dane, one must speak Danish. Not possible here in the United States that everybody would speak the same language. Just my comments on transferring hygge from Denmark to America.
Yeah, Rick in Omaha, thank you very much for that. Mike Viking?
I have quite an international group of friends. We meet once every 2 weeks to play poker. And there is a guy from Turkey, there's a guy from Mexico, there's a guy from US, there's a guy from the UK. We speak English when we're together, even though many of them have been there for several years. However, there is one word that is used in Danish at those evenings, and that is hygge. It's usually when Danny loses a big hand, he said, ah, never mind. I'm just here for the hygge. coming back to the size of the country, yes, we are an extremely small country, especially compared to the US. We have 5.7 million, so I think we probably have more listeners now than I have countrymen. So, you know, it is, of course, easier to design policies that satisfy 5.5 million inhabitants. But there is this feeling that, you know, despite we're small, but we're all in this together. And, you know, you've been hinting sometimes at the high taxation that we do have. And it's true we have, you know, I think I pay more than around 50% of my income in taxes. But I, together with, I think, 9 out of 10 Danes, we say we are happily paying our taxes. Because even though we pay a lot, we feel we get a lot in return in terms of quality of life. No, yes, I could afford a bigger car if I didn't pay those high taxes, but a bigger car is not going to bring me happiness. What is going to bring me happiness is knowing that everybody I love and care for is taken care of, that there is equal opportunities for all and social mobility and policies that ensures people can enjoy a relatively high quality.
Let me ask you then. I mean, you said that Hugo is sort of what America would be if Bernie Sanders won. Mm-hmm. Of course, he didn't. Donald Trump won. Does Hugo fit in a Trump America?
I think perhaps Hugo could be the emergency package for the Trump presidency. Interesting. I mean, when we were looking across the pond from Denmark and being a country that have practiced, you know, democratic socialism for years, it's interesting to see if you did a poll among Danes. I think 97% or only 3% would have voted for Trump. So we have difficulties understanding the choices that have been made in the U.S. recently, definitely.
I want to take our Hygge conversation very far north, if I may. Mike Viking, please stand by there, author of The Little Book of Hygge. With us right now from Alaska is Abby Collins. Abby was a producer for On Point, and she went north to Alaska to work for KHNS-FM in Haines, Alaska. She is in the middle of her first Alaskan winter. Abby, we haven't talked in a while. Thank you very much for being with us today from Alaska, no less. Hi.
Hi, Tom. It's great to be here.
How's Alaskan winter, Abby?
It is hard. It's a lot harder than I expected, and we're not in Barrow, we're not on the North Slope. I'm in Southeast Alaska. I think the shortest day of the year we had around 6 hours of daylight, but it's difficult, and I've learned a lot of strategies from friends that do it every year for how to get through it. We get a lot of snow here, and we stay active. That's the most important thing that we do here is stay active.
Stay active. So when you hear all this Hygge talk, does it sound like part of your way through the Alaskan winter? Do you go for the candlelights and togetherness business, or are you out, I don't know, cross-country skiing all the time?
We do both. I think, you know, we go out and cross-country ski in the day, and then we band together in the evenings. We do something called the sloppy gym. I was introduced to this when I got here. Once every few weeks, a friend will host one of these, and everyone will gather at one home with instruments and food and drink and just keep each other company and with music and conversation and sort of band together on these cold, snowy nights. But it's also really important to be out and doing that cross-country skiing. And when it's dark after work, putting on your headlamp and your ice grippers and going for a run and not making excuses. Staying inside all the time is what makes it a lot harder to get through it up here.
Does the real dark and cold make you think more about strategies for getting through? Have you focused more on your, I don't know, psychological well-being facing that Alaskan winter? Is a Hygge kind of style approach part of the answer?
Definitely part of it. I don't think it's the whole answer for me, but it's definitely been a big part of it. And that togetherness and knowing that you're not alone and isolated up here is really important. And staying cozy, but with your friends, not by yourself, is important for me.
Is it freaking you out that Alaskan winter? As you say, you're not in the farthest north. Nevertheless, it's long and cold. What do you say, Abby Collins? You gonna hang in there?
I think I'm getting through it. The sun's coming back. I wasn't sure mid-December. If you asked me then, I might have had a different answer. It was a lot harder to imagine getting through until March or April or May or whenever it'll start to get really warm here again. But we're getting through now. We're getting by, and the light is returning, so it's really exciting.
Wonderful. Abby Collins, it's wonderful to think of you with your grippers on up at KHNS-FM in Haines, Alaska. We miss you, Abby. Survive that Alaskan winter. Keep in touch with us.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Abby Collins, our former On Point producer, now doing the good work in Alaska. Let's go south, North Carolina, Mooresville. Ken is calling. Hi, Ken. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I'd just like to say that the Hygge is going on here in North Carolina, at least in my neighborhood. Everyone knows everyone, and we grew up on a farm, and people got together, and if someone was sick, needed help getting in their hay or whatever they needed to be done.
Sure.
Everybody in the neighborhood joined in and helped out, and I grew up in high school here, and we're still friends today. I've got a lot of people that I went to high school with that are still friends today, and we get together and
you find comfort in that, Ken, and I understand that well. I grew up, from the sound of what you describe, I grew up in a very similar community, and I know that feeling of connectedness and people helping each other out. Of course, not every corner of a big country like America is exactly like that, as I'm sure you know well. Mike Viking, what about across Europe? How much of Europe is into this? And are there parts of Europe that just don't really resonate with your hygge thing?
No, I'm actually seeing it being embraced throughout Europe. I mean, as you mentioned, I'm in Lisbon now, Portugal, Spain earlier this week, and it's being translated to Italian and the other southern European languages. But you know, it was right when you said to Amy, is it survival, or Abby, is it a survival strategy? And I think it is also to us Danes. I mean, yes, we do have summers. It lasts for about 3 or 4 hours one afternoon, and then we go back to winter again. No, we do have summers, but we also have hygge in the summertime because, you know, spending time with loved ones, enjoying a good meal, feeling gratitude, feeling togetherness, feeling comfort, of course, that exists during the summer as well, and something we practice. But for the wintertime, it becomes a survival strategy. And that's also why there is this focus on lighting, on lamps and on candles among the Danes, because we miss the light during the dark, wet, cold winters we have. Mm-hmm. And we also talk about the manifestations of hygge, the woolen socks, the jumpers, the chimneys and the candles. And those are important parts too, but I think the core values are the togetherness, the savoring of the simple pleasures and so on. But talking about the manifestations, I mean, we do use a lot of candles. We looked at the statistics for this book, and Danes use twice as much candle wax as number two in Europe because of our hygge obsession.
Oh man, I must be a hyggite. I use candles like crazy. Matt in Charlotte, North Carolina. Matt, you're on the air.
Hi Tom, hi Mike.
Hi.
This is my first call. I always get something out of your show, so thank you for that.
Oh, you're so welcome.
It's a wonderful topic. I tell you both that until the show today, I had never heard of the term. I had a certain idea of the concepts and the behaviors that are associated with it because I just turned 50 last year, and for years of my life, this is a philosophy and a belief system about relationships and surroundings and so on that I have gravitated toward. I never really can articulate it well for people who want to sort of have me explain myself to them. My environment, the woman who called earlier, it struck me because my environment around my home is very similar in the way she looks at hers. When people come over, they will say, "Oh, it's just so comfortable." And it's really a habitat for myself, and so much of what you gentlemen have been describing. But what's interesting is in my circle, so much of I seem to so often be going in an opposite direction than acquaintances and friends that I've known even for 16 plus years. That I, on the other hand, I will drive to their home, and I will find myself, and I'm sure Mike is seeing this, I will find myself sitting in a living room with 5-6 people with a TV on, and without exaggeration, you know, 5 out of 6 are staring at a phone. There's no presence in the moment. I could literally be a chair, and no one would know the difference. That's at least how I feel in those moments. So
that sounds terrible, Matt, just terrible.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Culturally,
I
wonder how, you know, it works out with so much of our culture, certainly in America, people who seem to be increasingly more awkward, even making eye contact with you, having any kind of anything resembling a personal connection. I would just be interested in Mike's take on that as far as, you know, where America stands now.
That is so interesting, Matt. I'm really glad you called. Mike Viking, what about it? Technology in Denmark and elsewhere, is it in competition with your beloved Hygge?
I think it is. And, you know, we're dealing with the same issues you are. I mean, technology is, a new thing that we need to adapt to. And we have the same issues with people not being present, perhaps not to the same extent you experienced there in the U.S. But I'm also concerned when we look at happiness levels and technology in terms of social media and so on. We did a large experiment about a year and a half ago at the Happiness Research Institute, where we looked at the impact of Facebook on people's happiness and quality of life on different dimensions. And we randomized it. So we had two groups, one control group who continued to do as they usually do, and then one test group who we asked to take a break from Facebook. And we measured their happiness before and after the experiment, both groups. And what we found was that, perhaps unsurprisingly, that those people who went without Facebook, they were significantly happier after the experiment. Now, one of the things were, of course, they were better to focus on different tasks. They also experienced less envy and less anger, because Facebook is great for many things. It's great for keeping in contact across distances, but it's also a great tool for self-punishment.
They're on a tropical vacation and I'm not.
You know, Facebook is a constant bombardment of great news that happens for everybody else. Yeah. Every time, you know, we log on, somebody just finished a marathon and went honeymooning in Hawaii and so on. You know, when we look at happiness data, one of the most consistent patterns we see is the importance of our social comparisons. We continuously compare ourselves with other people.
Mike, we got to hold that thought right there because we're almost out of time and you're harshing my Hygge here with all this talk about competition. I got to go light a candle, get back in the groove. It clearly resonates right now. It's really interesting how that's so. A little formula of what? Togetherness and comfort and gratitude and presence and harmony as an antidote to dark and cold and maybe more. Mike Viking, what a wonderful name. But of course, he spells it Danish way, M-E-I-K-W-I-K-I-N-G, but it's Mike Viking. His new book is The Little Book of Hygge, The Danish Way to Live Well. Mike, many happy returns. Thanks so much for sharing your philosophy with us today.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to go out with Riverside by Danish artist Agnes Obel, another musician recommended by our happiness expert Mike Viking for Hygge Time. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
The Riverside.